July is heating up at Capital OTB. Take advantage of the Bet 100, Get 100 sign-up bonus details at CapitalOTB.com. Saratoga opens July 13th, and we're loaded with events. Entries open on the 12th for the Play of the Day Bank.
In fact, it's very hot.
And enjoy summer at the club. Events all month long, 711 Central Avenue in Albany, the Trifecta Challenge, Play the Board, Prize Wheel, Double Promo Sunday, and more. All coming in July at Capital OTB.
Broadcasting live from the Capital OTB studios, this is Racing Across America with Seth Merrow.
We would like to thank Woodbine for their sponsorship of this program and some of the other programming and events here at Capital OTB. Woodbine's 2023 Thoroughbred Stakes program has more than $17 million in purses, including 39 graded stakes, 5 grade 1 events, and 2 $1 million classics, the King's Plate, and the Woodbine Mile. Woodbine, now through December, great racing north of the border. Good morning and welcome to Racing Across America on this Sunday morning. Sunday morning Racing Across America means a little recap of some of the stakes action from yesterday. And there was a lot of nice stakes action yesterday. We talked about it on yesterday's show, the three dirt derbies, and then at Belmont, a grass derby as well, the Indiana Derby, the Iowa Derby, the LaSalle Derby on the dirt, the Belmont Derby on the grass, a lot of great racing. The undercards at Horseshoe Indy featured some stakes action as well, also out of Prairie Meadows. Delaware had the Del Cap, LaSalle, as I say, the LaSalle, so right across the country, great racing yesterday, and we'll touch on that a little bit later on. We'll be visited by our friend Tony Kahlo, our usual Sunday morning visit, doing a little preview of some of the action coming up at the Finger Lakes tomorrow, try to give you some ideas for that. So looking forward to it. Should be a fun day, and the swan song for at least a couple of months in the studio as we'll kick things off. And if you weren't tuned in yesterday, I mentioned I had been saying today would be our first day live from Saratoga. So if you're saying, where's Claire Court? Actually, it as I said yesterday, it's a big job moving all the equipment, the cameras and everything from here to our trailer up in Saratoga. And we're just a little bit behind schedule on that, so back in the studio today. But we'll have a kickoff to the season on Wednesday morning, a little preseason run through, make sure all our equipment's going, so you can tune in for that Wednesday morning, and then we'll be off and running on Thursday, opening day up at Saratoga, and should be a lot of fun. Looking forward to it. Certainly some of this stakes action will play into the stakes action you see up at Saratoga this summer. I've been saying that now for at least a month and a half, as we watch some performances that clearly will play into, you know, Whitney and Test and Travers and beyond. So it should be, as I say, a really looking forward to a fun season. All we have to do is kind of knock on wood on the weather, because it's a game played outdoors and we always hope for the very nice weather. I know it's supposed to storm here today. Hopefully we get some nice rain and that helps the grass grow, and then for the next couple of months rain is a Monday and Tuesday kind of thing. That would be, or overnight, that would be perfect, and things hold together, and hopefully the again, we'll knock wood, that the air quality, the Canadian wildfire smoke situation, hopefully dissipates as we move through the summer. We don't have to deal with that situation here at Saratoga. All right, let's jump in. Again, it was a nice day at the various venues, including obviously Belmont Park, and I also pulled up the jockey battle. We came into the battle. I want to say Jose Ortiz yesterday was ahead two or three ahead of his brother Irod, and then Irod popped two wins in the first couple of races, or two out of the first three, and I think tied it up or was right there. But Jose had another good day, and he goes into the final day of the Belmont meet, 59 wins for Jose Ortiz, 55 for Irod. So, again, it'll be interesting. The first few races, we'll get an idea of how much of a battle this will be. But it looks like Jose may have a comfortable cushion with only one day left. And on the trainer side of things, it was pretty much a done deal as we went into yesterday. But I'll just give you the numbers for Linda Rice. Yeah, she's seven ahead. 34 wins over Chad Brown with 27. So Linda Rice has sealed it up. And congratulations to her. That's, I think, her fourth straight New York title, you know, going back to Aqueduct and whatnot. So nice accomplishment there. All right, let's jump in and take a look at some of the action yesterday from Belmont. Start things out taking a look at the Suburban. The big question mark in the Suburban. I used Charge It on Top, but I said when I was handicapping yesterday, just kind of inconsistent. When you get the good Charge It, he's very good, and you just don't know when you're going to get the good Charge It. So what was yesterday going to be? Charge It, the number four horse. I thought Total Impact was the logical challenger. Total Impact tossed in a complete clunker for Linda Rice. But I thought also Clapton was interesting, the number three horse. And Clapton went off actually as the longest price on the board at 11-1. Charge It was the 65 cent to a dollar favorite. And down the backstretch, Charge It was right up there challenging for the lead and was probably three or four paths out. And John Velasquez after the race said, you know, my horse just got a little bit engaged with the horse on the rail. So I floated him out to kind of get it, let him get in stride. He did. And then, as you can see, he kind of pulled ahead on the turn and down the stretch here. Number four, Charge It, is getting it done. Chart Margin, a very easy victory of almost five lengths. And Clapton, the longest price on the board, holds on for second. So actually, with the short priced favorite on top, you wound up with a $20 exacta with, again, a horse I thought was a little bit of an interesting player in the five-horse field in Clapton. But Charge It gets it done. Todd Pletcher, after the race, was kind of indicating the Whitney might be next. And the Racing Form article said they were planning on the Whitney and planned to train up to it, but the horse was just doing so well after running fourth in the Met Mile. They thought they'd take the shot in the Suburban yesterday. So now that they took the shot and they have the win, probably still go to the Whitney, but that changes up the timing, obviously, a little bit to what their game plan was, maybe coming out of the Met Mile. But, again, Charge It gets it done. And let me just give one more shot here to see if there are some buyer figures out. I looked last night. I didn't see anything. Let me just give a quick look to some of the usual suspects. Yeah, it looks like maybe we have something, but as usual, my computer is at a crawl. So, pardon me here. But I think I can pull you up a buyer figure here for a Charge It. It'll be interesting to see, because Charge It, as I say, the good Charge It is a triple-digit buyer performer. The other Charge It, not so much so, and it's just, as I say, you don't quite know when you're going to get the better Charge It. And again, the computer in a little bit of a crawl here, so I'm kind of vamping to see if the the buyer number will come up. And if so, it looks like we're getting there. We're getting close. Yeah, there we go. I'm sorry, that is, I think, last week's buyer. Yeah, those are last week's buyers. So I'll take a look during the break and see if some of the latest buyers are up. But again, nice performance, won pretty easily. I don't know if it was the strongest edition of the Suburban where you can really give a strong set of applause on the win, but went out there 65 cents to the dollar, expected to win one. And again, with the almost five length victory, it was a pretty good looking victory. And potentially see him up in the Whitney. And mentioned yesterday, coming out of a workout on the Oklahoma on Friday, it looks like Cody's wish aimed towards the Whitney up at Saratoga as well. So that one's shaping up to be a very nice race. So again, the stakes season up there should be spectacular. All right, moving on to the Belmont Oaks. We had the three-year-old fillies in the Oaks, the three-year-old males in the Belmont Derby. The Oaks, I like Papilio, and I don't think we have the start here, but Papilio at 7-1 comes out of the gate and goes right to her face, Mark Cassie and Javier Castellano. Castellano said, standing in the gate very well, then the gate opened and she goes forward. He said, I was lucky to stay on. And as I say, I had Papilio on top at 7-1. And after the race, given the performance, I was still happy with the pick. Here we go. Very good. Thanks, Dino. Keep your eyes on the four horse. She just goes right to her face at the start. And so given that, and again, keep your eyes on the four, given that start, to run third, I thought Papilio ran very good. The eventual winner is going to be the number nine. She doesn't get a fabulous start because she's in the nine hole, the outside hole, and breaks outwards. But then her jock, Aspen Grove, the European import, her jock gets her over to the rail. And as you can see, Papilio goes right to the back of the pack after the start. But the number nine, the eventual winner, he gets her over and he saves a lot of ground with this one. Aspen Grove, a Glen Hill Farm bred horse, and Craig Burnick of Glen Hill Farm was in the winner's circle afterwards and talked a little bit about breeding horses over in Ireland. You know, Glen Hill, an American breeder, but with an Irish breeding operation. He said, you know, we were getting beaten by some of the European turf horses, so we decided, let's go over and breed over there ourselves. Aspen Grove, the number nine, started her career over in Europe. Her previous start was the Irish Thousand Guineas, where she ran, you know, kind of a disappointing 10th. And Burnick said in the winner's circle, I got to give credit to the trainer because he said, let's take this shot in New York. They were thinking a listed stake at Delaware next weekend, but no, they come to New York and Aspen Grove, as you can see, when they hit the stretch, will have a nice winning effort. So rather than the listed stake at Delaware, they pulled down the grade one with the $500,000 purse. So yeah, I would think you would want to thank the trainer there. But again, Papilio, you can see the four chicklet. She's still, excuse me, back of the pack, kind of right next to the eventual winner. But the eventual winner just gets a little bit of a jump on Papilio. And again, with that start, I was perfectly happy with the nice performance with Papilio. Splitting those two, running second was prerequisite. Lately raced runner from Chad Brown, only the fourth career start, so she might be one to watch. She'll be the number five horse, and as I say, she'll get up for second. But Aspen Grove, as you can see, once she gets an opening, boom, she makes the nice move on the outside. Papilio also, for a few strides there, I thought, oh, her momentum is going to give her a good. She just didn't flatten out is not right, but just didn't have quite the same momentum as the eventual winner. And again, part of that, I think, is just the start and going to the back of the pack. But I think Papilio will be worth watching going forward. Aspen Grove will be obviously worth watching going forward off of that one. And Craig Burnick said, you know, we'll make a decision because, again, European-based horse with an American-based owner-breeder, although they're tied in with some Europeans. But Craig Burnick was quoted, I think the article I read in the Racing Forum, saying, you know, we'll decide back to Europe or not. Probably. It seemed like tilting staying here in the United States and aiming for the Saratoga Oaks, part of this triple turf series for the girls and the boys in New York. So they'll either aim to the Saratoga Oaks or the Del Mar Oaks, likely for Aspen Grove going forward. Papilio, on the other hand, being a Mark Cassie horse, wouldn't be surprised to see that one right up here in Saratoga. All right, up next, Belmont Derby. And I have that one out of order from my rundown here, Dino, because, again, I wrote down the wrong number on races, so I'm going in chronological order. But the Belmont Derby, three-year-old boys. Winner is going to be Farbridge, the number five horse, but a nice late run from the Euro, the Foxes. Really nice looking late run. It's just a little too late. Mondego runs third. I took a shot with redistricting the very nice looking maiden winner for Chad and Klarovich. He's going to be the 10. You can see. It was a tough assignment, and redistricting was not quite up to the challenge in the second start of the career, running 7th in a field of 11. But the winner, Farbridge, over, you can see on the inside, the Foxes came up nicely. Mondego runs 3rd, and Webslinger runs 4th. But Farbridge, second choice in the field. Yeah, the Foxes, the European import that ran 2nd, was the 2-1 favorite, and at 3-1, Farbridge was next. Part of the nice day for Jose Ortiz. He was on board Farbridge. Farbridge, a Todd Pletcher trainee that had clearly shown some talent. 4 starts, couple of wins, couple of seconds coming into yesterday. But the last 2 starts were those second place finishes, the American Turf down at Churchill, the Pennine Ridge at Belmont. The follow-up article was talking about Farbridge just needed to straighten out. Was not running completely straight in the near misses. And so Todd Pletcher played around a little bit with the bit, gave him one of those bits that helps straighten out a horse, and it seemed to work, as Farbridge did get it done yesterday in the Belmont Derby. Saratoga Derby, again, another one of the races in that turf triple in New York on August 5th, and that one likely for Farbridge as a next start. And finally at Belmont yesterday, the victory ride, I said when we were handicapping on the morning show, I had the top of the page, a very nice race. I put Maple Leaf Mel on top. And we were kind of debating yesterday with the trainer, Melanie Ginnings. This horse had been in the barn of Jeremiah Engelhart. And I told the story yesterday, but it was verified that the horse actually has been transferred over to Melanie. She was working as an assistant for Jeremiah Engelhart. And this horse, Maple Leaf Mel, is owned by Bill Parcells, August Dawn Farm. And a nice runner for Bill Parcells. Started the career with a couple of big wins at Saratoga last summer. Part of a nice summer for Bill Parcells with some two-year-olds up there at Saratoga. But Maple Leaf Mel was right at the head of that class. Came back this year as a three-year-old. And it's a New York bred, so the first 2 starts were against state breds, one of them being a state bred stakes race at Saratoga last year. Started the season in a state bred stakes race at Aqueduct, and then went down and faced open company in the prior start to yesterday in the Miss Preakness, a grade 3 event, and won that pretty easily. So 4-for-4 coming in. But again, if you looked in the form, transferred from Jeremiah Engelhart to Melanie Ginnings, and she was an assistant for Jeremiah, and Bill Parcells named this horse after her. And so she had a connection with the horse. And going into the Miss Preakness, a couple of the articles stated she was still involved with the horse and helping out and whatnot. Well, subsequently, the follow-ups to yesterday say she's now in the barn. Right up here, you can see training at Saratoga. But the trainer said, I have some horses working Sunday morning at Saratoga, so I have to hop in the car and get back up there. But this is going to make the ride a lot more fun. But nice horse there, red carpet ready with 4 wins and 5 starts coming into yesterday. Was certainly a solid contender. Interpolate, I thought, was a solid player. Vava, I thought, again, very nice field. But as they come down the stretch, it will be the New York bred. Number 5, Maple Leaf Mel, getting it done pretty easily. 2.5 lengths. Dazzling Blue runs 2nd. Vava 3rd. Red Carpet Ready actually went off as the 3-2 favorite. The number 8 horse And you can see, just fading here, winds up seventh in the field of eight. So Red Carpet Ready was clearly the disappointment, but no disappointment for Maple Leaf Mel. Now 5 for 5. And as would be expected with a quality three-year-old filly sprinter, Maggie giving the trainer Michelle a hug there, obviously very emotional. And you can understand why. And you can understand why when we talk about what's next, because 5 for 5 and what's next? The grade one test up at Saratoga, potentially. Again, you have a good three-year-old sprinting filly. The test is going to be on the radar. And, you know, annually, one of the saltier races on the American racing calendar. And so you go up, you pick up a grade one at Saratoga. That would be a nice way to get the career underway. And again, Melanie, previously an assistant to Jeremiah Engelhart, but she's now been off on her own for a few months, I guess, fairly new on her own. But now with Maple Leaf Mel in the barn, again, potentially shopping for a grade one victory up at Saratoga. All right, let's go over before we take our break and take a look at a couple of the races at Horseshoe Indy, the Indianapolis Derby and the Indiana Derby and the Indiana Oaks. First, we'll start with the Derby. I took a little shot with On the Stage. An Asmussen runner coming off of a couple of wins down at Lone Star, stepping into stakes company for the first time. I just wasn't convinced. Verifying was clearly the one to beat. I just wasn't totally convinced that Verifying was invincible. So I thought, I'll take a little shot with maybe an up-and-coming Asmussen runner. That 22-1 got the right price. Did not get the result, though. On the Stage winds up sixth in the field of seven. So missed there. On the Stage is the number four horse. But Verifying, again, the horse, clearly the horse to beat, gets it done at 60 cents to the dollar. Raise Kane, though, gives him all he could ask for, the number two horse. Chart margin is only a nose. They had to look at the photo. Cagliostro runs third. But again, Verifying had to work for it. Brad Cox after the race, this was a mile and a 16th. And Brad Cox after the race says, you know, we may cut back Verifying because it just seems like a mile and an eighth isn't really his thing. And he had run a pretty close up second and a mile and an eighth in the Matt Wynn in his previous start. But Brad was saying, just doesn't seem to be his thing. And the mile and a 16th, so we may cut him back. Be interesting to see what the game plan is, where they go next with Verifying, because certainly, clearly talented. Tossed in a clunker, yes, in the Kentucky Derby. Also tossed in a little bit of a clunker in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile. But other than that, has been absolutely solid in the career. Now 3 wins in 9 starts, 3 seconds, and puts the Grade 3 Indiana Derby on the resume as well. But again, with Brad Cox saying, we'll maybe cut back. Going to be intriguing to see what that means. And 3-year-old sprinting stakes, and will we see him up here at Saratoga doing that? Being a Brad Cox runner, I don't think that's out of the question, but there are other options as well. Indiana Oaks, I was a little more master of the obvious there. Again, I went a little sideways with my pick in the Indiana Derby, but the Indiana Oaks defining purpose for Ken McPeak looked kind of solid to me. 2 starts back in the Ashland, a nice win in the Grade 1 event, and then kind of faltered a little bit running 7th in the Kentucky Oaks. But I thought off of that Ashland Grade 1 victory, defining purpose looked pretty good. Taxed, I thought, was a pretty solid contender, and that's what it winds up being. Defining purpose, the number 5 horse gets it done. But Taxed actually went off as the favorite, and a short-priced 4-5 versus 2-1 for defining purpose. So got a little bit of a better price for the top pick. Number 5, defining purpose. Number 2, tax second. Lily Poo, excuse me, the number 6 horse, runs third. Chart margin winds up to be a length and a quarter for the winner, defining purpose. I didn't see any definitive statement on where the horse would show up next, you know, being a Ken McPeak trainee. And Ken was out there, so I'm in the winner's circle out at Horseshoe Indianapolis. But you know, being a Ken McPeak trainee, he's creative. He'll pick his spots, and he has plenty of horses running up at Saratoga, so I wouldn't be shocked to see her try that kind of company. Or if he feels like, you know, she's well suited and well spotted in these kind of places, he can pick his spots as well. So we'll see where she goes. But that was the fourth career victory in 9 career starts. So nice little 3-year-old filly for Ken McPeak and company, winning the Horseshoe Indianapolis Indiana Oaks yesterday, Defining Purpose. All right, we'll head to a break. When we come back, some more stakes recaps, and then a little bit later on, Tony Kahlo with a preview of some of the Monday action at Finger Lakes. Stay tuned.
No matter where in the world you are, the excitement of wagering on horse racing is just a click away. You'll get live streaming, past performances, race replays, our virtual tote board, analysis and selections from professional handicappers, a simple, safe, and secure wagering platform, and best of all, you get track prices. CapitalOTBBet.com. Bet any place, anytime at CapitalOTBBet.com. And be sure to download our new mobile app from the iTunes Store or Google Play.
Capital OTB is now streaming live on Roku. The RTN Racing Channel on Roku lets you watch OTB TV live through your Roku device or your Amazon Fire Stick, rather than being limited to computers and mobile devices, which means you can now watch OTB live wherever you are. Simply open Roku, scroll to find the RTN channel, then click on OTB TV. OTB TV on Roku. Try it now.
Welcome back to Racing Across America. Seth Merrill in the studio. Thanks for joining us. Doing a little recap of some of the nice stakes action from yesterday. Part of that was the Delcap at Delaware Park. Grade 2 event. $500,000 up for grabs. 1 3/16 for the fillies and mares. Field of 6 entered. Not necessarily the strongest field of the older fillies and mares, but some nice runners in here, including the favorite Idiomatic, Brad Cox, trainee for Judmont, 5 wins in 8 career starts. A couple of those stakes races in the last 3 starts, including the Grade 3 Shawnee in the previous start at Churchill. So this may be a horse in now the 9th career start that is coming into her own as an older filly and mare runner. Came into yesterday's Delcap Idiomatic I'm talking about with a bullet work over at Churchill for Brad Cox, and got it done yesterday at 2-5, despite a start. Has to work, though. A classy addition for Todd Pletcher. Nice little New York bred. Gives her all she can ask for. The chart margin is just ahead, with classy addition not giving it up at all. So both of these are interesting runners, and both in that filly and mare division that could be worth watching, and you would think up at Saratoga in one form or another. Classy addition being a New York bred, I think they have some options there. But I think, again, Idiomatic now putting a couple of graded stakes on her resume in the last 2 starts becomes very interesting, potentially for some of that stakes action up at Saratoga in open company. Classy addition can go in that direction, or pick a spot on the New York bred day. She had won a New York bred stakes race Classy Edition, the second place finisher there in her prior start at Belmont. But three starts back before yesterday, won the Grade 3 Royal Delta. So she's one of, you have a talented New York bred. You're in clover. You can pick your spots. Nice little New York, rich New York bred stakes race, or pick your spot and look for a $500,000 purse like this and run lights out. Run a race that many times would have been a winner. You just went against one that was a head better yesterday. So again, both of those runners worth watching going forward in that division. You would have to think Idiomatic and Classy Edition in the Delcap yesterday at Delaware Park. Prairie Meadows, nice day for them, highlighted by the Iowa Derby. But again, like Horseshoe Indy with the Indiana Derby, nice slate of undercard stakes races as well. Let's start out, though, by looking at the Iowa Derby. And there was a DQ in here. With the eventual winner being moved to second. First under the wire was one in Vermilion, who had come in off a couple of races at Canterbury, including the Canterbury Derby, running second. The Canterbury Derby is a turf race. Prior to that, had won a 6-furlong allowance event. So went off at 7-1. You know, good form, but good form at Canterbury. Prior to that, had been at Santa Anita, won a stakes race out there. The Laz Barrera had run 5th in the Santa Anita Derby. So there was some class here, but coming in from Canterbury, maybe slightly overlooked at 7-1. One in Vermilion, though, comes under the wire first, but drifts out a little late, and that then brings the DQ and moves up. How did he do that? Who may be incredibly named. How did he do that? The number 4 horse, you can see here, and you can see there is some kind of a little bumping and whatnot going on. It's a bing bang finish, a half a length, half a length. I'm looking here. It was actually a dead heat. I didn't realize when I first, I'm realizing it as I'm looking at the chart now. I didn't realize it when I watched the replay last night. And again, I was just kind of quickly going over the replays, but it's actually a dead heat for the win there. They were a half a length in front of the third place finisher. But again, on the DQ, that gets separated. But as I say, how did he do that? Living up to his name at 48-1, more amazingly, 48-1 for Steve Asmussen. So again, you can watch here. They come down to the wire, and it is the DH on the win end, but the inside horse comes out a little bit. Yeah, that to me, live, that's interesting. And I never did see the photo, but obviously the photo, both on the line. So how did he do that? Gets moved up to the win. One in Vermilion gets moved to second, and Heroic Move, who was third under the wire, stays third. And yeah, Ding Dong, right? That's a great finish in the Iowa Derby. $250,000 up for grabs, a mile and a 16th, the trip. And how did he do that? This is a runner for Steve Asmussen that had run seventh in the Texas Derby in his previous start, had run 4th in the Sunland Derby, second in a prep for the Sunland Derby back in January, ran 5th in the Smarty Jones. So this was a horse that clearly they've thought has enough talent to take shots like this, but these are all kind of second string 3-year-old races. And he's, you know, 7th, 4th, 2nd, 5th, 5th. So probably deservedly a price. But 15-1 on the morning line floats up to 48-1. $98 for how did he do that to win. One in Vermilion was 7-1. Again, he's moved to 2nd. So the $2 exacta, $978 for the old 4-1 combination. So again, and, you know, talking about 3-year-olds to watch. And when we talked about this yesterday, we were saying some of these may be a little bit interesting watching going forward. Verifying, I think, lived up to that in this race. I'm not sure how did he do that, or even one in Vermilion, the dead heat. I'm not sure these two are going to be making a lot of noise floating to the top of the class over the summer. They may continue to pick their spots here and there like that. Bo Cruz was a horse that maybe had the chance to make a little noise on the three-year-old scene. Bo Cruz went off as the 9-5 favorite in here and wound up eighth in the field of 10. So again, this one a little less interesting amongst the 3-year-old derbies yesterday, as it played out or will play out going forward amongst the 3-year-olds. But we'll look at the LaSalle Derby in a couple, and I think that one, like the Indiana Derby, has potential to make a little noise. Before we leave Prairie Meadows, though, did just want to show the Cornhusker and the nice field of older horses in the Cornhusker. Giant Game, Dale Romans, and our friends at West Point Thoroughbreds and Company. And that one runs very nicely in the Cornhusker. Giant Game is the number one horse in here. Skippy Longstockings, a familiar performer over the last few years for Safi Joseph, winds up running second, and 8 Life Grand winds up running third. 8 Life Grand was the 6-5 favorite, but the winner at 9-1, Giant Game, gets it done. Again, West Point and Company, Dale Romans, Martin Garcia on board, came out of a win in an allowance event at Churchill in the previous start. I would, again, I'm going to try to look up buyers a little bit later. I'd love to see the number for this one. Interesting performer. I'm not sure going to be stepping forward on the handicap division scene at the top level, but we'll see. Well, with these connections, we'll see what they plan next for a Giant Game. This one, you know, it was a nice salty field yesterday, and so to get it done in there. But as I say, I would like to see the number from that performance. Finally, before we go to the break, again, on the 3-year-old side of things, out in Southern California, it was the LaSalle Derby. We talked about this yesterday on the show, and felt like Reincarnate probably the one to beat. But interested to see what the comeback for Skinner would be. Reincarnate's the number two, Skinner's the number three. They run 1-2. Reincarnate, pretty easy winner at even money, but at 6-5, Skinner clearly runs second. And coming out of this race, the follow-up article stated that both of these are potential for the Travers. So we'll see. Reincarnate getting it done for Bob Baffert in the LaSalle Derby. John Sheriffs and Skinner, a horse a lot of people had some high hopes for earlier in the year. Good comeback effort. Had some setbacks and missed a couple of starts, but this was a nice return for Skinner. And again, both of these now potentially looking forward to the Travers. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, Tony Kahlo from the Finger Lakes. We'll do a little preview of Finger Lakes action coming up tomorrow, Monday. Stay tuned.
What if there was a way to become a better horse player, to have a better knowledge of the game, to be more successful? What if there were a way to take what you've learned, what you know, and make better decisions, better choices? In horse racing, knowledge is a powerful tool. Race results and replays, past performances and live streaming, wagering from all your digital devices. Capital OTB. Become a better horse player.
No matter where in the world you are, the excitement of wagering on horse racing is just a click away. You'll get live streaming, past performances, race replays, our virtual tote board, analysis and selections from professional handicappers, a simple, safe, and secure wagering platform, and best of all, you get track prices. CapitalOTBBet.com. Bet any place, anytime at CapitalOTBBet.com. And be sure to download our new mobile app from the iTunes Store or Google Play.
Capital OTB is now streaming live on Roku. The RTN Racing Channel on Roku lets you watch OTB TV live through your Roku device or your Amazon Fire Stick, rather than being limited to computers and mobile devices, which means you can now watch OTB live wherever you are. Simply open Roku, scroll to find the RTN channel, then click on OTB TV. OTB TV on Roku. Try it now.
Welcome back to Racing Across America. Happy to be joined by our friend Tony Kahlo from the Finger Lakes, the usual Sunday visit with a little Monday preview. Tony, good morning.
Hey, Seth. How's it going, buddy?
Very good. And I will say I had some fun Monday and Tuesday watching a little Finger Lakes, because normally Monday and Tuesday are my days off. But with a little New York action down at Belmont on Monday and Tuesday, I came in this week and did my afternoon handicapping show Monday and Tuesday. So I threw some nice Finger Lakes handicapping into the mix. I touted your selections on Monday, and I saw you kind of touting the chicken barbecue and whatnot. How was the right. Holiday couple of days up at Finger Lakes this week?
Yeah, we did good. Unbelievable. Our 4th of July handle, I think, was an all-time record for
us. Nice.
I think we handled over 2.2 million, I believe, which has been incredible.
Excellent. And
I believe it's our fourth day this year that we've handled over 2 million, which is, we had an eclipse that mark, I don't believe, since I've been here. And I've been giving big shout outs to the fans, without everybody supporting and putting their time and their hard money into the sport and supporting Finger Lakes, it wouldn't happen. So we are very appreciative.
Yeah, that's great. And like I said, I had fun in here taking a look and watching the simulcast signal and enjoying the racing. And, you and I talked about a few of the races last week, and the races we talked about, there was three really good races last week that we kind of handicapped for the Monday card. And speaking of good racing and Monday cards, next week, New York Derby, right?
Yeah, New York Derby. We're crossing our fingers. I had heard the nominations were a little bit light. I really started pumping it hard on the Tuesday and Wednesday cards last week. So let's hope we can get some decent nominations. I don't know what's going on with this country, our horse racing, but sometimes these stakes races are coming up lighter than imaginable, lighter than a 10-pound bug.
Yeah, no, and you have a good-looking three-year-old New York bred. Why not? We'll be looking forward to that. But let's take a look at some of the action for tomorrow, and we'll kick things off. Sixth race on Monday afternoon. We are looking at allowance runners, non-winners of two lifetime, 1.70 mile, field of eight scheduled to go. And again, nice little competitive bunch in here with at least three or four of the horses who had been down on the Naira circuit and now are moving up. Most recently, a Naira to Finger Lakes move for Dancer D'Oro with Raylu back in upstate New York for a little Monday Finger Lakes action. What are your thoughts in the sixth race tomorrow?
Okay, before we get to the quick analysis, though, Seth, I just want to let everybody know, tomorrow, if you happen to be out near Farmington, New York, we're having a free handicapping contest. It's our $2,500 Handicappers Challenge. All you have to do is be part of our Lucky North Club, which doesn't take very long to register. $1,000 to the winner, $600 for second, $400 for third. Contest participants will have their names thrown into a hat, chance to win a $50 voucher, drawings between races 2 through 6, if it's like our past contest. So pretty cool deal. You got to be on track, got to be part of our Lucky North Club. But hey, $1,000 to the winner. And basically, I believe the way it is, the first eight races of the day, we have 9 tomorrow. And then I think it's a 5-3-1 point system, which It's kind of an outdated little contest. I'm trying to work on them to get them the traditional $2 win place thing, but and I believe you get a best bet for double points. So, you know what? Take that into consideration, fans.
I'm glad
you're out near the area.
I'm glad you mentioned that because I said, gee, I'm going to have to ask Tony about this. When I was in Monday or Tuesday, I saw the graphic come up on the screen, but I just caught the end of it. And I said on the air, I said, it looks like maybe you want to hop on the throughway because it sounds like they're having a fun handicapping contest next week. And then I had forgotten all about it. I'm glad you brought that up because I think that will be very tempting to people on a Monday, a nice little contest like that where you can walk away with 1,000.
Yeah, it's not a bad go. I mean, hey, anytime somebody's willing to give you something for free, you got to take a shot. You know, it's like a free contest and 1,000 to the winner, 600, 400. It's a good deal, and fans really like it. So, like I said, I'm not a big fan of the point system, but hey, I'm not the one who came up with it. And they've been doing it for years like that, but hey. We all have to play by the same rules. So everybody knows the rules ahead of time and we go from there.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And the point system is kind of funny because if you get a long shot, you're not getting your just desserts, as it were. But you're right. Everybody's playing by the same rules. And the fact of the matter is, you can poke a hole in almost any contest format. I mean, the live money format always gets me because you get the guy, if a long shot wins at the end of the day, I don't know if people are really handicapping as opposed to, hey, I'm way down the leaderboard. I got to stab a little bit. And so that a lot of people love the live money, and there are great things about it, but there are knocks on that too. All the formats have their pros and cons. But are you a contest player at all? Because I like the contest. Up at Saratoga, I play the low roller all the time, and I tell people to do that because I think contests – I think it improves your handicapping because you have to think maybe a little bit differently and really search for value. So I'm a fan.
I am too. You know, I get on the horseplayers.com website. Yeah. I participate in the free NHC contest. I've been trying to qualify for the Breeders' Cup Betting Challenge a little bit more fiercely this year. Saturdays is pretty cool because you'll get a bulk of entries and – like yesterday, the top 15 were going to get a chance to get into the $179 tournament. Fortunately, I finished 26th or 28th. I missed like by about $8 or $9. But it makes you look a little bit outside the box. You can't pick Captain Obvious Chalk every time. You know, and now these contests have also gone to the pick and pray format where you already have to put your picks in well before the, you know, before the first race in the contest. So, like you said, with the live handicapping, if you're $40 out going into the last and you take a stab and you happen to bring in a $40 horse, all of a sudden you propel yourself all the way up to the top. You know, Seth, I think we've talked about this in years past. I had read somewhere, I don't know who it was that mentioned this, and I thought it was kind of cool. Like, okay, I'm all for the win place. I'm all for capping it off at like the 20-1 and whatever it is, 10-1 for the place. I'm all good with that, but I'd like to see a little wrinkle put in where, like, maybe at the end of the contest, you have your dollar, how much money you've built up, and maybe times it by the amount of winners you've selected. That might, you know, so if a guy's only picked two long shots, and let's say he has $100, and you times it by two, you're up to 200. What about the guy that's got $80 worth of winners, but he has, you know, nine winners or 10 or 11 winners, you know, something of that nature. It'd be kind of cool, you know, but, you know, all of a sudden you start wrinkling it all up too much and the formats get different. At least we kind of already know the way it is. So.
Yeah. No,
I do love the contest.
Yeah. I was playing and I've been jumping some online contests too. I'm trying to get out to the NHC. I'd love to do that because we covered it a couple of years going back 3 or 4 years before the pandemic. We were out there live and it's just a lot of fun. So I'd love to go out as a player. But last year, earlier this year, it was like 2 weeks. It was one of the last weeks you could play. And I was in an online contest and the top player went to Vegas and I wound up second by like $8 and I was ruining that but that just makes you want to play again the next week. And again, I definitely tout the contest. And so
there was a freebie on the NHC about 2 months ago and there was like 2,000 something entries and the top three got Vegas. I finished seventh and I missed by $4, and I didn't use like the odds on favorite in the last of Belmont.
There are plenty of stories out there. I've read some of them.
Speaking of your low roller, it was pretty funny. One of the last times I was at Saratoga, you know, I go up there with my buddy Lil Man DeSpiva, and all of a sudden we look, and he's all, is that our buddy Seth up on the leaderboard? And I think you were right there knocking on the door. I was like, oh, we were rooting for you hard.
I have won the low rollers probably over the years, probably five times, including one time down at Belmont. But I mentioned this the other day. I have whiffed like the last 2 years. So I'm hoping I'm due this year.
I
was on a little bit of a roll, but we'll see how it plays out. But again, we'll tell people once again, head down the Thruway tomorrow and take a little shot at the that sounds like a great contest. $1,000 to the winner and $604. Yeah. So again, Finger Lakes tomorrow. Keep that in mind. All right. Sixth race. Allowance non-winners of two. What do you see in the sixth?
You know, my buddy Billy Morey's coming into town, which is pretty cool. He let me know he was coming in. He was bringing some horses. You know, Billy and I pretty much started at the same time in Northern Cal. He was working for his father, and I got to know him over the years when I was in my younger stages trying to become an announcer in the Bay Area. And it's pretty cool he's in town, and he's got Ray Lou in the saddle. And I don't see a lot of speed. The 5 Dancer de Oro, I don't see a big price. 3-1 on the morning line seems awfully generous. You know, here's a horse in her debut. She ran against Andiamo a Firenze. They thought enough of her to debut her against the boys. I don't know if the filly race wasn't going, obviously, but ran a pretty good third, did all the dirty work chasing the eventual big-time winner. Looked sensational in two out of her last three races. We'll forgive the most recent race. Certainly bred for the added real estate, Bolt de Oro out of a Tisnau mare. Ray Lou likes to be aggressive. He almost was victorious last Monday with aggressive tactics. I see aggressive tactics employed tomorrow, 5 Dancer de Oro, to start our late pick four.
And you mentioned friends of yours, and a little bit earlier in the show, I showed the LaSalle Derby. Your buddy's with Blaine Wright, correct? He had Prince Abu Dhabi, ran third in that LaSalle Derby yesterday.
Yep, and I saw that Bill Downs, the friend of mine, the announcer at Emerald, he had noted, I don't know if it was yesterday or the day before, but Blaine won his 1,000th career victory. One of my good buddies from back home, and ran third in the LaSalle Derby with Prince Abu Dhabi. So, you know, Blaine Wright, he's a pretty good horseman fan.
Nice, nice, nice. And Bill Morey, I was just looking to verify because I wasn't sure whether it was last summer. I had him on the show up in Saratoga, the middle of August. We had him come over and sit with us. I don't know whether I mentioned your name or not, or he meant I don't know whether I knew the connection at that point.
Yeah, it's all good. You know, us Northern Cal guys, we got to stick together.
Exactly.
He's a soft-spoken man, and he does a heck of a job with his horses. He's had some pretty good runners. Visitant, one of his nice horses. In fact, they had retired Visitant, and apparently there wasn't a lot of love for the breeding aspect. A lot of mares were coming out. So Visitant is back in training right now at San Luis Rey, and fortunately going to be away from Billy, but I've always been a big fan of Visitant.
Nice. All right, speaking of big fields, race number 7, a field of 11 is scheduled. Maiden specials going 6 furlongs. And again, this should be a nice betting event with the nice big field in here. What did you see in race number 7?
Yeah, you know, I'm hoping for some pace so my top pick can come running. You know, Flowing River on the comeback intrigues me. I'm intrigued by that horse. If I was playing a multi-race wager, I'd probably include that. I had heard some rumors that Under the Knife was supposed to be forwardly positioned in his debut, and it didn't quite happen, so perhaps he'll be a little more aggressive. Tom's Legacy, who's going to be the stablemate of my top pick, looks like he wants to be up there mixing it up. 5 Destinations. What about the 1A American Halite? Here's a $220,000 Kentucky bred that ran at Saratoga last year. And I've talked about this on your show. I love horses who debut at Saratoga. I like the effort on the 12th of June. The horse has a huge Tomlinson for an off track. So I'm hoping that the horse didn't run as good as he did just because of his affinity for the wet going. But horse had a beautiful stride, made up 9 lengths in the final quarter of a mile. I think he's meant to be fairly decent. I looked up the dam who was unraced, but her dam was a runner. Her dam was a Belletto. Belletto ended up finishing third or second in the Breeder Cup Juvenile Fillies back in 2004. She won her debut, won another allowance race Saratoga, won the Prezette, second in the Matron. Mr. Three-Year-Old Campaign came back as a four-year-old and ended up running third in the Breeders' Cup Distaff. She had a bunch of second-place finishes, the Beldame, the Personal Ensign, Gopher Juan, Shuvie. So anyway, there's some good blood. I'm hoping that it's not too much added real estate, too much two-turn with Arrogate and a hard-spun mare. But, boy, the way this horse finished last month, I'm willing to come right back with him. 8-1 on the morning line. Boy, I'm hoping we get something close to that, Seth. That would be awesome. American Highlight, my top pick in the seventh.
I might play around with that one because, as you were describing, I like that one, certainly the price. But Under the Knife, who you mentioned, Sharp Azteca to me is kind of a sire that maybe floats a little under the radar for win early types. So with that breeding, interesting. And what is it, Melissa Iorio? And is she related to Sal?
She is not related to Sal, and I have been told she likes her pronunciation, Iorio. Maybe that's
okay.
A little bit more
all
Italian
right.
Than Iorio. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Sal's never corrected me on his pronunciation, but I do not believe there is any relation whatsoever. But Melissa prefers Iorio, Mr. Merrill.
Very good. Good to know. All right, let's move on to race number 8 tomorrow. Again, nice full field. Full field of 10 in here. Another allowance event, non-winners of 2 lifetime. A quick 5.5 furlongs. Your thoughts in the 8th?
If we get 5-2 on Warrior Nation, bet everything you got. I haven't seen a horse win like that since Lisa's Booby Trap. That's high praise. Anybody who loves watching replays, go watch Warrior Nation's replay. I don't think I've seen a horse geared down from the quarter pole to the wire. It was one of the most incredible victories I've seen since I've been here. I got here in 08. Like I said, Lisa's Booby Trap is the only one that even comes closer. Maybe Sandy's Garden when she broke her maiden. There are a couple others, but this was super, super impressive. The horse won by 14, wasn't asked. If Kike the Diamond Man, Luis Perez would have asked this horse could have probably run 103 and change. I mean, thumbs back with a 48-1. The thing that astounded me the most was I have such a hard time with Finger Lakes with work tabs. You growing up in California, you're so used to a long, prolonged 7-day, every 7-day work, lots of work leading up to comeback races, debuts. This horse had 2 recorded workouts for his comeback bid and wins like he's a Cadillac. Unbelievable. Probably not going to get a lot of value with the win price. I would look at both the horses underneath them, the 4 and 5, for all of those people out there that like to pound exactas and trifectas. But go watch the replay of Warrior Nation, and hopefully you'll be as impressed as I was. I think after the race, I went to my Jesse Ventura quote, "I'm impressed, and I don't impress easy." It was a tremendous run, no question about it.
All right, no, I'm looking forward to that one. But I have to admit, I always have to root for the local connections. And number 10, Moon Hunter, goes out for Eddie F's Racing. Are you familiar with Eddie? If you come up to Saratoga and you like fried clams or lobster rolls, pop over to Eddie F's. Eddie Fazone, great guy. I've had him on the show a number of times. But he has this partnership, and I know some locals that frequent our race book right here, where we have the studio in the back end, but I know some locals are involved with Moon Hunter, so I have to give a certain rooting interest to, again, the local connections on Moon Hunter in the 8th.
Nice, very nice. Well, they got a very good jockey in the saddle, that's for sure. Kay Berkoa, Iber's son, is really coming into his own this season. Thoroughly impressed with what I'm seeing from Koa.
And again, I'll tell you, if you're in town, swing by Eddie. Oh, well, you don't have to swing by. Eddie has a booth at the track now for some fried clams and some lobster rolls. So
nice.
you can swing by that too. And yeah, Tony.
Fried clams reminds me of a kid going to Howard Johnson's back in the day.
Oh, that's hilarious because for many years my dad was from Maine. And so we would spend summers up in Maine and New Hampshire just before you went into Maine. There was a Howard Johnson's, and we would stop on the way up and have the Howard Johnson's fried clams. And it's like, what were we, as a kid, you're excited. But as an adult, think back, and we were stopping for Howard Johnson's fried clams, and another hour and a half, we could get the real thing on the shore. What were we thinking?
Yeah, you know, growing up in California, my dad was from Waterbury, Connecticut. That's when the first time I ever went to a Hojo's, and I remember the fried clams, like you're saying. But, you know, the simple things when you're young, what they do for you, right?
Exactly. Tony mentioned when we were off the air, this will probably be our last visit until after Saratoga, because I'm not sure we have the phone connections hooked up there. But as I said to you off the air, when you're in town, if you're in town for a Saratoga visit, we have to get you back. It's been too long since we've had a live Tony with us on the backstretch. So by all means, give me a shout if and when you're in town. But otherwise, we will talk again after the season is over and plug back in some Finger Lakes action.
I'll take you up on that, and I promise if I do make an on-air appearance, I will not wear the same black Tommy Bahama shirt that I've wore every other time.
It all works for me, believe me. As people will attest, I am definitely not the fashion police. There is no question about that. Tony, appreciate it. It's always a lot of fun. We'll talk again.
All right, Seth. Take care.
Tony Kahlo from the Finger Lakes. And again, I will once again tout, tomorrow, if you've got Monday free, hop on the thruway. It's a very easy drive to Finger Lakes. It's up the thruway. You hop off the exit, and you just make a little jog down the road, and you're right there. And it's kind of fun. If you've never been, tomorrow might be the day, and take advantage of the handicapping contest, because that definitely does sound like a lot of fun. All right, I'm going to wrap things up for Racing Across America on this Sunday morning. Again, our last go-around in the studio until after Saratoga for the better part of a couple of months. We will, next time you see this program, I'll be back in this afternoon, but the next time you see this program, we will be live from our Clare Court set. Looking forward to it. Hopefully you are too. Again, it was a fun day of racing yesterday, so a little recap of some of the action with some of those players likely to show up right up the Northway, and as I say, a couple of them that Iowa Derby, I'm not quite sure we're gonna see those performers necessarily, but we definitely saw some performances yesterday that will play in stakes action over the next few weeks up at Saratoga. So hopefully we gave you some ideas and some thoughts, and some thoughts tomorrow on Finger Lakes. Again, I'll be back in about an hour and a half or so with OTB Live for a Sunday afternoon. I will also tout you while I have a minute here on some of the promos and events coming up, because really with Saratoga kicking off on Thursday, we are loaded throughout the Saratoga meet. There's something here at the Racebook almost every day. We have some online events that are going to be a lot of fun. But just to give you a little bit of a lineup of this first week and weekend, Saratoga obviously opens on Thursday, but on Wednesday, entries open for the Play of the Day team. We'll select 50 people who will be on the Play of the Day team. Our friend Steve Bick and Kevin Cox of the Brooklyn Cowboy, as the past couple of summers, will be giving out a Play of the Day every morning on the Handicapper Support. There'll be $100 wagered on that Play of the Day every day, and the money earned at the end of the meet is split between the 50 Play of the Day team members. So online entries open at capitalotb.com on Wednesday for the Play of the Day team. Entries will stay open, I believe, until the following Tuesday, and then the 50 folks get selected. And again, there are things happening virtually every day at the Racebook throughout the month, throughout July. On Thursdays, if you come down to the Clubhouse Racebook, you get your chance to spin the prize wheel and maybe win a little extra something. That's every Thursday here at the Racebook, Prize Wheel Day. Fridays at the Racebook, we have the $100 Trifecta Challenge. And again, these are Racebook, 711 Central Avenue in Albany. Friday, also the Bounty Bet up at Saratoga. I believe there's over $1,900 up for grabs this coming Friday. Play the Late Pick 5 at Saratoga with your Capital OTB bet account. Saturday at the Clubhouse Racebook, all month long, play the board contest. So a little extra fun on Saturdays. And double your fun on Sundays this month at the Clubhouse Racebook. Double promo day with the match bet and the Exacta board. And I'll also mention Sunday throughout the Saratoga meet, we're going to have a show pool bankroll. Entries, there'll be a new team every week, and entries for the show pool bankroll will open online on Friday. So first one opens up this Friday. Go online, put your name in the hat. We'll randomly select the team on Sunday morning. And every Sunday, I'm going to have $100 to play on a show pool parlay. Five races. Easier said than done. Not last year, 2 years ago, had the crazy run where turned the $100 into $2,000. Can't guarantee that, but certainly we'll try to win every week some money. And as I say, it's not easy to string together. You think show bets, that's a gimme. Stringing together five is not as easy as it sounds, but we'll be giving our shot every week. And again, hopefully winding up with one of those crazy results like we did a couple of years ago, everybody walking away with a couple hundred bucks in their account. So that'll be the game plan. But if you'd like to participate, you can put your name in the hat every Friday throughout the Saratoga meet via CapitalOTB.com. All right, I'm going to step out and wrap it up for Racing Across America. But again, I will be back in about an hour and a half or so. We'll look at some Belmont. We'll look at some Monmouth. And, of course, on a Sunday afternoon, we'll throw in the Sulkies and a little Saratoga harness as well. All that coming up in about an hour and a half, 12:30 or so, back with OTB Live for a Sunday afternoon. We'll see you then. We would like to thank Woodbine for their sponsorship of this program and some of the other programming and events here at Capital OTB. Woodbine's 2023 Thoroughbred Stakes program has more than $17 million in purses, including 39 graded stakes, 5 grade 1 events, and 2 $1 million classics, the King's Plate and the Woodbine Mile. Woodbine, now through December, great racing north of the border.
You're watching OTB TV, a service of Capital Off-Track Betting.